section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting, one show at a time.
You are about to enter the dirty stalls of It Burns When I Pee. This podcast is for mature audiences only. The views and opinions expressed on this show are usually rude, crude, and offensive, and should not be associated with our guests and sponsors in any way. Please proceed to the first available stall and prepare for takeoff.
Welcome, everyone, to another gripping episode of It Burns When I Pee, the number one podcast for roots music, adult comedy, and interviews. The podcasting god, Blake Clayton, along with his revolving group of co-hosts, are preparing for launch. Please adjust your volume, remove all morals and values, and prepare yourself for what we like to call auditory dysentery. We go live in
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Ignition.
Mission control to podcasting god, you are clear to proceed. I repeat, you are clear to proceed.
To hillbilly heaven. All right, folks, welcome to episode 126 of A Burns When I Pee. I have my man Bob Wayne here. We're live at...
fucking bitch, man.
We're at the High Note in Pekin, Illinois. Bob, as always, is touring like he constantly does. And he was nice enough to sit down. I think it's been 4.5, almost 5 years since I had you on the show last. So
yeah,
a lot's happened in your life since then. So we're going to catch everybody up.
All right. Hell yeah.
The first question, why don't you tell us about the new album that you have, you're finishing up. What's the title of it when it's coming out?
It's called Back to the Camper. Actually, Andy Gibson, he just finished it today. So I got the new mixes. They sound freaking awesome. And it's coming out in April. But right now, we were supposed to be out. We were trying to get it out early, but, you know, Andy was really working on it. Sure. He was working on a bunch of other projects, so it kind of got pushed back a little bit. But it sounds killer. But so right now, we're going to do a pre-sale thing where the first 2,000 are burned in the camper. I don't know if you saw that camper pull
yeah,
up.
Yeah.
We got a camper on the road, and we just... the first 2,000 are hand numbered. I think we're up to number 50. We just started a couple days ago, so we're up to number 50. But the first 2,000 pre-sales, you get 3 songs right now with a bonus track that's not on the CD, and then we mail you when it all gets mastered and done. It should be within the month. Mail the copy. So the first 2,000 pre-sales, hand numbered, signed, and out the door. Back to the camper.
They can get that, can they pre-order on the website?
Yes. Yep. Yep.
That's bobwayne.org.
Yep.
Not .com.
Yep.
Not .net.
Yep, that's right.
So, you go overseas a lot, and you're actually going in May, I do believe.
Yeah.
And one of the questions is that I have had is, how do you get the band's gear over there? I mean, just to get a carry-on bag is $50. So.
Yeah. Oh, man. I've been over there a lot now. I don't know, I lost count, but 15-16 times. You know, when we first went over there, we didn't really know. We were just kind of like, you know, renting everything and renting a van, and I was told you need a driver and you need all these things, and it was like super expensive. And so we never made any money. We were like literally living, like sleeping in bushes and shit. I remember opening up for Hank 3 over there, and some of Hank 3's band members were walking by, and I used to tour with Hank 3 on his bus as his guitar tech.
Yep.
So it's funny now, I was opening up for him, and like it was like somewhere in London or something, and like I saw Gary Lindsay and some of the crew walking by, and I was just waking up. I'd slept in some bushes. A fox woke me up, and I came out of the bushes all snuggling with a piece of cardboard that I was laying on, and they were all like, they thought I was joking with them, like, good one, you saw us coming. And I was like, yeah, I saw you guys coming. And I just was doing that as a joke, you know. Really, I was, you know, because we were like, everything's so expensive, renting a van and stuff, and so through time we just like bit the bullet. We're like, all right, we're not gonna make any money. We're gonna take everything we make. I bought a van and I bought all my gear there.
Okay.
So now, and I bought a GPS and I drive myself.
So you just leave everything over
now
there.
Now I have my own back line and my own van over there, all in a storage shed. It's like, you know, James Bond. I get off the plane in Amsterdam, go to a storage shed, open it up. I got a van. I even have a bag with all... I wear always the same clothes.
Sure.
I have a bag of these exact clothes over there.
Wow.
And actually, the airport, you know, I thought it'd be great. I was like, oh, I hate traveling with shit, so... So, but then when you go with nothing, if you look like this, they're looking. I'm red flagged every time. So now I have to bring something.
Sure.
So it looks like, because they're like, why are you leaving this country with
no souvenirs?
Or why are you leaving America in such a hurry you couldn't even bring a bag? I'm like,
right.
I'm like, man, I got everything over there. And they're like, okay, come with us, you know,
sure.
Checking it out.
Sure.
So, but yeah, so I'm all set up over there. It took a while, you know.
Sure, definitely.
But I even have a guitar over there, and I have everything there.
So it's an investment over there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but I do believe you try to go over twice a year almost, don't you?
Or once a year.
Sure.
Yeah. So we'd go over there for one tour a year. So there's a lot of places over there, and then and then we've got South America too.
Wow.
And,
jeez.
And yeah, man.
So next question is. And you have a way with the ladies. And so we were wanting to know, what is Bob Wayne's secret?
Well, it's not that... I don't know if I have a You know, I never got laid really till I was like 26 years old. That's what's funny. You know, seriously, sure. I had like one or two girlfriends, and you know, it was actually because I was always pretty strung out. You know, and so I could give a fuck less. I was just always, you know, doing just
getting
fucked
high.
Up,
right.
Drunk, and all I cared about was drinking and partying. And playing music, and girls were like a problem, you know, it was like no girls around the band, you know, type shit.
Right.
You know, in high school, stoners, girls ruin bands, you know. And so, I mean, now I just like to, I like to have fun, and, you know, I like girls, and I think, I don't know if there's, I don't think I have a secret or anything. I don't
the
know.
Charisma. The charisma?
Maybe. Beard? I don't know, because I sing, all my songs are like, fuck you, bitch, and right. all I do is fuck you, and they're all like, you know.
Right, exactly.
Maybe it's like reverse psychology.
There you go. You know? I've seen you
they're
play.
Like the asshole, you know, so I'm like on stage like, yeah, all I do is, you know.
Just be the asshole.
One night stands, and I killed that bitch for cheating on me, and fucking, next thing you know, they're like, hey. Knocking on the camper door, you know.
Well, every place I've seen you play... the first time I saw you play, you opened up for Hank 3, and that's back in the day. But I saw you play in California, and the ladies just, and I've seen you play at Muddy Roots. And I just don't, you know, even my fiance is like, you know, she's.
I know, I'm middle aged, overweight, but I got a hot French girl waiting right over there.
I showed her where the bathroom was.
You did? Yeah. I don't know.
Be hospitable. But yeah. Hey, I think it's the charisma. It's the Bob Wayne charisma.
I don't know, man. Because the rest of the band does pretty good, too. I mean, it's not like, I mean, it's not just me, you know.
So, at Muddy Roots 2003, you were kind of instrumental in getting Red Simpson on the bill.
Or 2013.
Yeah, I'm sorry. So, how did you become friends with them, and how did your relationship
grow? That's a crazy story. I met him in Bakersfield. We were playing Bakersfield, and a guitar player of mine at the time had a friend that was friends with him. And she was like, oh, you sing truck driving songs? And she mentioned, she was like, oh, I'm friends with Red Simpson, you know? And I was like, wow. I go, he's like a huge, he's like one of my biggest heroes. You know, when we first started touring, that's all we listened to was Red Simpson, and kind of obsessed over him for a while. And you know, I didn't know if he was alive or dead. I never researched him as far as, like, what he was doing right now. Sure. I knew he was probably really old or something. But, you know, after the show, that lady came up with the phone. She's like, hey, Red Simpson wants to talk to you. And I was like, no way. And then I got the phone, and it was, you know, because I listened to so many of his CDs, I knew instantly it was him.
Right,
it
wasn't somebody playing a joke.
He talks on his CDs, you know, oh, there he goes with that tire. So it's just his voice. I was like, holy shit, this is you. He's like, yeah, it's me. He's like, you want to come over? And I heard my friend said you're pretty good, and you sing, you know, some songs about truck driving and stuff. And that, you know, you should come over and drink some coffee, and we'll tell some stories. And I was like, hell yeah, what time? He was like, well, I'm up at 5 a.m. I was like, oh, shit.
That's why I'm going to bed.
But I was like, oh, hell yeah. I set my alarm. I slept for 2 hours. And I barely didn't sleep because I was like, holy shit, we're going to go. I'm going to Red Simpson's trailer.
Sure.
You know, and that's another weird thing. You know, he lives in a trailer halfway between the cemetery and a dump. You know what I mean? And he's got his old Cadillacs there. And so I showed up, and we just hit it off, and we hung out all day and passed the guitar and traded songs, and we ended up, you know, I got to thinking, and I was like, man, because he's playing at like Trouts or something once a week, and maybe like a nursing home or something for, you know, whatever. And I was like, man, Muddy Roots. So I called up Jason, and we got him on there, and he flew out. I took care of him for a few days, and we ended up putting a song together called Dope Train, and it's actually on this new CD. Awesome. It's a duet with me and Red, and it's classic, classic Red Simpson. So it's crazy now, because it's like, I went from, like, you know, you're listening to your hero, now I'm listening to the mixes, now it's like Red going, hey, Bob, how about this? I'm like, hey, Red, how you doing? You know, awesome. We're just like back and forth, and it's a dope train. It's
awesome.
It's a great song, so I hope everyone likes it.
Definitely, that's cool. So do you have any siblings?
Yes, I have a brother that we have the same dad, and I have two sisters that have different dads. So,
are they pretty supportive of your music?
Oh yeah, they're all supportive. I kind of ducked out of my family when I was like 15, 16, and I never really looked back, just kind of, you know, my all my family lives in this small town in Eastern Washington, and I maybe see them once every couple years, but we're on the phone all the time,
sure,
and stuff. So they're all real supportive, and my mom's a musician. She plays cover in a cover band. That's pretty much her job on the weekends, playing awesome, like top 40 songs. She still does that. When we were kids, that's what she did. So, yeah, my brother, he plays music, and my sister, she sings, but they just kind of do it as a hobby, sure, you know, but I think music's definitely in the blood.
Awesome. That's cool that they're supportive. That's
important. Oh, yeah. You know. Oh, yeah, they're super supportive.
So what is your favorite movie of all time and why?
Favorite movie of all time. God, there's so many good movies, and I watch a lot of movies. That's why, sure, I get inspiration through movies. I write screenplays, and favorite movie of all time.
It's kind of one of those questions like, what's your favorite song? It's just, yeah, it's impossible to.
I have a few, but it's the movie that I've probably bought the most times, and I give it away or I lose it. It's this movie called Wolf Creek.
I don't think I've heard
it's
that.
It's kind of like it's a true story, supposedly, about this like serial killer in Australia, and he like picks up these, he fucks with these people's car when they go out hiking, and he ends up taking them out to his shed out in the middle of the fucking thing. It's like this kind of like this epic horror movie. Of how this one guy, he murders all these girls and they find all the families, and I don't know, I like horror movies,
right on,
and stuff like that. So sure, that one or Frailty. I don't know if you've ever seen Frailty.
I don't think so.
I really like Frailty. So those two are probably at the top.
We're gonna find link. I'm gonna find links to the movies and put them on the show.
Frailty, next. That's a good one. It's kind of got that kind of religious overtone to it. Like some of my songs are kind of, sure, like the battles of
good and evil
and stuff, and so that movie's kind of like nails that on the head, and at the end it's got a big twist.
Spoiler alert. Ending.
But yeah,
so this was specifically asked from my fiance Miles.
Okay.
And she says, the beard, how long have you been growing it, and do you have any grooming tips for your fellow beard brothers?
Well, I think like since 2009 or 8 maybe, and it's weird, it just stopped growing. It's like been this length and it doesn't grow anymore. I see all these guys, my drummer just started growing his a year ago, and it's like right, this, you know, and I'm like, how the hell? So I don't know, I guess mine's just supposed to be this length. I wish it would get longer. I thought, you know, the thing was, I always used to have to shave my, because I used to work construction and tour, and even when I was working for Hank 3, I would work for a tour for him, and then I'd go back to work construction. So the more and more times it sucked, as I'd be touring for 6 months and it'd start to get long, then I'd have to go back and I'd do like asbestos abatement and, sure, demolition, and you have to be, it's in the union, you have to be clean shaven to,
sure,
get a fit mask for the respirator. So I always had to shave, I always bummed out. So this is how long it's been since I've had to work last. So if I ever have to go back to work, if you ever see me coming back to tour with a clean shave, it means I had to go back to work.
And you need to buy more CDs.
Yeah.
So, because you don't want him to have to lose the beard.
I haven't had to do that. The last job I left was 2009, and it's funny because my work crew, the crew of demo guys I worked with, they still are in big touch. They go to all my shows. They're super supportive. They're like, come back to work for like 2 weeks, man, and just, we won't even make you work. Just push a broom and like, you know, hang out. You be the safety guy. We just want to hear stories from the road, right, you know? And so those guys are all still cool. But yeah, that's the story of this. Grooming tips, I don't really do anything. Walmart, $10. They keep this trimmed. And
a lot of my friends have beards, and they always make fun of me because I can't grow one. I look even with like the mustache, I just look like, you know, like a French pedophile. It just never comes in. So I'm always the guy with no beard. So I said, that's a perfect question. So do you ever see yourself having kids?
Man, you know, I don't, well, this lifestyle definitely isn't
right,
kid conducive or whatever. I think it would be cool to have a kid. I don't know. Luckily, I haven't had any, and I don't have like a vasectomy or anything. It's just, I've always thought that I guess I'd have to be have enough money or something, because right now I couldn't have a kid, but I would like to. I always thought if I ever had a kid, if I ever had a girl, I would name her Bobby Wayne Jr.
There you go. I like it.
You know, and then I would just train her to be like this badass fucking
open for you.
Outlaw country chick, this rugged, you know, badass. But I don't know. I haven't had one yet, and hope I kind of. You don't know what's gonna happen.
Sure,
but,
sure.
But
and don't come after me in 6 months when I teach you with the question.
Shit.
It's all Blake's fault. So, what's the latest lineup for the Outlaw Carnies?
Right now we got Joe Mitchell from a old school metal band called Holy Terror, a good friend of mine from Seattle, on drums, and I got my buddy Pete on bass, my buddy Chuck on fiddle from Eureka Springs, Arkansas, and this new guy Cole on electric guitar. He toured with Lucky Tub for a while, but they're pretty good. We're getting it pretty tight.
Sure. You know, because there's been a lot, that's one, you know, you're touring all the time, and
yeah.
I understand that, you know, there are times when band members change up
because
whatever reason.
It's like this run is like 6 months and 20-something countries around the world. So it's like, and you get people, and I understand, like, other people have lives. Like, I had my favorite lineup, you know, was me and Dan Infecto and Pat Brown. They're all from Seattle, and we were all friends before the band. So it was kind of like friends, sure. You know. But it was like after 3 or 4 years, they were like, dude, like, I want to start a coffee shop. And my girlfriend, you know, she kind of wants me home. And
right.
You're always, so I totally understand why people, you know, that's why it's always been a revolving door, because I know that I want to be a lifer. You know, I'm like, I'll play music
sure.
till I die, you know. And it's kind of like, I understand that you know, other people have dreams and aspirations that
sure.
they want to do, and I'm not there to hold. So I just enjoy the time I have with people and friends, and it's cool because you get to jam with new people all
sure,
the time. And,
sure, it's not those same guys every single time,
right? And it actually changed the dynamic of the band. So from a customer's perspective, they come to the show and they're like, they see a little different
sure.
element, and I play different songs that work for
different people
have that different strengths. And what they play. And you might see banjo on tour. You know, I had Joe Huber on banjo. I had, you know, playing. You know, you just never know.
Sure.
So that makes it kind of cool, too, you know.
Keeps it fresh.
Yeah, I had Marky from Zeke for a while. Played the punk band that I loved. Playing mandolin, electric guitar. So it leaves the door open for, like, you know, it's cool for me. Because it never gets
reductive.
Really old. Because you get new people and they have different styles. And different.
Sure.
So it kind of changes things. And it's cool though.
Awesome. So have you ever had to stop a set because the crowd passed that point of being rowdy? You play in front of a lot of different groups of people, and a lot of, you know, some shows are bigger than other shows. But have you ever had an incident where you had to stop and say?
Yes. We've had to stop the set before just because it got too. We play a lot of, like, we don't have a booking agent or something in America. How I book the shows is on Facebook. We're going on tour. Where are we going?
Right.
And then everyone writes us, and we go there. So we end up playing like parties and stuff. And this one party, actually, a couple shows have been stopped. One was in Montgomery, Alabama, and it was these guys. They had a tattoo shop, friend of ours, Charles Taylor and them. Anyways, what ended up happening was when you get shows like that, there's no rules or there's no bar.
Right.
You're in like somebody's fucking space, and everyone's drinking moonshine,
sure.
and there's no cutting people off or
right.
like a bar. And so it was like, I mean, everyone was like blacked out, drunk, pretty much on moonshine. And they had jugs of the shit going around, and it was really weird. This preacher walked in halfway through the set with a Bible. T Jr. was there. He remembers this. And he like hexed the show. He's like, you guys are all going to hell. This like preacher came into the show with a Bible, like yelling at us all, and then he like left. We're like, Well, fast forward like 35 minutes, there was a, you know, there was like a punk kid with a, he had a mohawk and he was just slamming into the cowboy guys that had their cowboy. They don't understand the moshing situation. And so they're thinking this punk is this. So they drug him outside and they just commenced to beat the shit out of him. Well, he gets in his car and just starts mowing people down in the parking lot. It's like boom, boom, boom. Like literally one guy got hit, flew like 20 feet. And the whole show kind of like went, you could see the window. It was like glass windows and you could see out in the parking lot what was going on. It was like dude laying on the ground with, you know, Bob Wayne shirt, blood seeping through. And I'm running out there. I'm like, holy shit, cops and ambulances and everyone's chasing this punk dude down. They're all loading up their guns, jumping in their trucks. And we're just like, all right, show's done, right. Show's done tonight. And you know.
And part of it, I guess, I don't know if it's just me getting older. You know, when I go to a show, I want to watch a show. I want everybody to have a good time because everybody's different. Right. But there's also this point where sometimes you're just like, what the fuck? You know what I mean? And I know I just saw an article on Jason Isbell, and he actually stopped a show, you know. And so I just thought it was interesting. You know, you want your fans to be, you know, rowdy, have a good time, but I just wanted to know
when people start getting hit by cars and
right, and that's your cutoff point.
Laying there dying in front of you, you know. I mean, he made it out. The guy ended up going to prison that did it. I mean, yeah, it was like he's crazy. Still in prison. And in fact, the guy that got hit by a car just died a couple weeks ago, I think. So, not from that, I don't think. Maybe it was. Sure. Down the road, but I know he had something happen a couple weeks ago. I got an email and he died.
Man.
So but yeah, and the other time we stopped the show was in Panama City, another party show that was booked by fans that were like, just come out to our fucking house and we'll
right.
And then it was like this dude comes running out of the woods, he's getting chased by some guys in a four-wheel truck. And this guy's like, help, help. And we're all like, what the fuck? He's like, these guys are going to kill me. And these dudes jump out of their truck. And they come out of the bushes. And they're like looking for this guy that's like hiding at the party. It's like a bonfire party, you know. And the dude that was throwing the party was like, hey, man, we don't want any problems. And the guy that was starting the problems had a bottle of vodka. And he just cracked it over his head, broke the vodka over his head, and starts stabbing the dude. Jesus. Stabs him in his arm. Well, that dude just lay. I mean, he laid that dude out. Right. The dude that got stabbed, and he laid that dude out. And the guy goes in his truck. Goes, I got something for you, motherfucker. And we're all thinking he's going for a gun. So the whole party's just like scatters right. into the woods. And dude comes out with an axe and just starts running this dude down with an axe. So that show was kind of like over after right. that.
Once somebody starts mowing down people in cars and having an axe, that's when a Bob Wayne show is.
Yeah, on. When the axes come out and people are fucking swinging. The dude that my buddy Danny who threw the show, he still got a
big old guy.
He needed to get stitches, but he didn't want to go to the hospital. So I actually duct taped his arm up, and he just left that there. He was like, you know, he's got a massive war wound from
right.
the show. He brags about it now.
That's crazy. Well, one of the things I wanted to do different on this interview is I wanted to get some fan questions. And so what I've done is I originally was just supposed to be five questions, top five.
All right.
But I got a couple extra ones in there because I just couldn't pass up the chance to get them.
All right.
So, and the winner, at the end of these eight questions, you tell me which one you think is the best.
Okay.
And they win an IBWI prize pack, and I think you're going to throw in a couple.
I'll throw in some stuff, too.
All right, some Bob Wayne stuff.
Some BW merchandise.
So there's a lot on the line right now.
There's a lot.
Okay.
We're talking buttons. We're talking...
But hey, you know. So the first question comes from Danny K.
Danny K. Okay.
From Danny K and the Nightlifers.
All right.
Okay. It says, what's your favorite lube? And if it's Trojan Fire and Ice, did your balls get a rash?
I've never tried Trojan's Fire and Ice. And actually, I'm more of a spit guy.
None of that fancy stuff. All right. Question number
spit.
That's the lube, the natural lube.
Yeah.
Fan question number two comes from Mickey. It says, what was it like being pulled over in a limousine by the Pekin Police Department before a show at this very bar a few years ago?
Oh, my God. Well, you know, driving that limo on tour, we got pulled over everywhere, man. It was like we couldn't go anywhere. They were you drive through small towns everywhere.
Sure.
We're rolling through in a long black Cadillac limo with big horns on it. My name in gold on the back and all of us, you know, and cops just pull you over. They're not supposed to do that. They do it, though.
Right.
You know, and so they're always, like, thinking we're up to no good, you know. And that I remember one time, I don't remember this time because we got pulled over so many times. But I remember one time we had all the tour money, you know, and it was like a couple thousand in cash. And they found the cash and they're like, where's the drugs and where's the guns? And we're like, hey, man, we're just a band on tour. And then they open up the box and it's like big old fuck the law patches and shit. And they're like, oh, we're going to tear this car apart. Well, we ended up telling them, I think we were on tour with David Allan Coe at the time, and one of the guys was a David Allan Coe fan. He's like, really? I was like, yeah. And then next thing you know, they're looking us up, and they're like, all right, man, you guys are cool. They ended up taking some merchandise and let us go. So
sometimes David Allan Coe saved you in a roundabout way.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, yeah, that thing was definitely a... Not really nonchalant, or what do you call it, inconspicuous.
Right,
was,
you were not incognito when you came through town.
Yeah, yeah.
So on this one is from Scott. It says, out of all the places that you've played in the world, what is your favorite destination of all time?
Man.
Kind of like the favorite movie and favorite song question.
I would say, out of all the places I've played in the world, the favorite. That's so hard, man. That's like the favorite song thing.
Right.
Jeez, I've never even thought about that.
If you played one last show, where would it be?
If I had to play one last show, where would it be? Oh, man. I don't know, man. I think maybe Anaheim. Just because it's weird. We have another one of those things where the fans book the show.
Sure.
And it just gets fucking crazy. Every time there, it's like, insane, you know. It's like 300 people, and they're always just
rocking out.
Like they're singing the words louder than I am, you know. So I think, and it started with like 2 people, and then it was like 10 people, and 20, and 40, sure. And now when we go there, it's always it's guaranteed a crazy show. Awesome. Down there. And California, I like California. It's nice weather. When you live in a camper, you know, weather has a lot to do with it.
Sure,
I mean,
sure.
It's nice to sleep in 70 degrees rather than
20.
Last night I was in my motorhome just like, when you can see your breath,
right.
It was 20 degrees. I don't know, it was cold. It was freaking cold. I mean, I have a good sleeping bag, but even with the sleeping bag, your head, you
sure.
know, and when you start sleeping, you fall out. You know, I woke up, my arm was like frozen last night. So I'm going to have to, you know, I like warmer climate.
All right.
With camper living.
Camper living. All right. Question number 4 comes from Josh. What is your favorite song from the new record?
Wow. I would have to say probably the duet that I did with Elizabeth Cook.
Okay.
I did a duet with Red. This is a hard toss-up because the one with Red Simpson, he's my hero. But the one with Elizabeth Cook, I wrote the song like 4 years ago, and I've been looking for the right voice, and I've had a lot of girls try, and no offense to all them, but I was actually watching Squidbillies one night. I'd never heard of Elizabeth Cook.
Sure.
I was watching Squidbillies, and she starts singing the girl's voice, singing the intro song or whatever,
yeah.
And I was like, that's different, because normally they have Billy Joe Schaefer,
I think so.
Singing it. And so I think that's him. I don't know, but it was a different one. I was like, who? What girl?
Unknown Henson, maybe. I think it was.
Unknown Henson is the voice.
The voice
of the squid. But anyways, I heard this girl's voice, and I was like, who is that? That's the voice that I need. And we found out who it was. And I actually went to her Twitter page and wrote her a message, and I sent her the song, and she emailed me right back. She was super cool. And then it found out, I was like, oh, she has a Sirius or XM radio
yeah.
station, and she has her own career and everything.
Yeah.
And I started listening to her songs, and I was like, man, she's got the perfect voice that I heard for this song. And the song's really good. I hate saying that, you know, all my songs really good, but I mean, I really like this song. And it's a good story about a hitchhike. These two people that meet hitchhiking, and or he picks her up, and it's a total like Quentin Tarantino type story. But you got Elizabeth Cook, and she just fucking nailed it. And so I'm really, and it's you know, I feel like there's not a lot of like good duets.
Sure.
That I old like classic kind of country style the classic duet, right. And I think we nailed this one pretty good. Awesome. So I'm excited for everyone to hear that song.
And I think I played her quite a few years ago. There was an episode where I played all females, and it was twang ain't just a guy thing or something. And I remember playing an Elizabeth Cook song.
Yeah.
This one doesn't count. This one doesn't count.
Okay.
Because it's from my fiance Miles again.
Another one.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, but boxers or briefs?
Boxers.
All right. See how easy that one was?
Yeah. What are briefs?
I don't ever wear them. I can't wear them.
Are those like the European swimsuit looking things?
No, those the regular like.
Yeah, no, boxers. Boxers.
Yeah. All right. Question number 6 comes from Billy Hood.
All right.
If Miley Cyrus torqued her ass on your guitar, would you A, sell it, B, smell it, C, burn it, or D, beat her parents with it?
What's torqued?
You know, where she sticks her butt in.
I have no idea. Miley Cyrus. I think I've seen her in the news or something.
Right.
I don't.
She's Billy Ray Cyrus' daughter. She's all skanky.
Hannah Montana.
She's all skanky and dirty.
I don't know much about her. So what? Tell me about it now.
He just wanted to know if she came and was torquing, start torquing your guitar. If you would
like rubbing her ass on my guitar.
Yeah. Okay. Would you either smell it, sell it, burn it, or beat her parents with it?
Sell it. Is she hot?
I think she's good looking for it's like a train wreck.
If she's hot, I probably wouldn't. I'd probably just try to fuck her with it. I'd just be like,
you know,
it's over. Let me get in there and help you out there.
I'd
fuck her with it.
There you go. When I wrote that question down, I'm like, I surely should put E.
This brings up a funny story because we had Andy Gibson, me, we were doing a 3-piece, and a stripper was like stripping right in front of us. We're playing a strip club. And she bends over, and she's like got her ass, and she's on one of those wheel things. I don't know what they're called, but she's standing right in front of me. I mean, her pussy and ass is right in my face. And you know, Andy's over there; he's all laughing, and grabs a video camera and starts trying to videotape it. And so her ass and pussy was right there. I was playing the set. It was actually Chatterbox about all the girls on the road. And so I start like just kind of seeing what she does. I put my tip of my guitar on her pussy and she starts getting into it. So next thing you know, I'm like trying to see if I can get it in there, you know? That was actually happened live.
That's crazy.
Everyone's like, fuck yeah. I'm like, so actually I almost, you know, I got the tip of it in there pretty good. Right, but
so you can put her as a check.
So if Miley Cyrus started torquing my guitar, I'd probably start trying to get it in there with it.
Okay, I got 2 more. This comes from John. In a zombie apocalypse, who is the one person who you would hope would turn so you could get a chance to cut their head off?
Oh, shit.
Hey, IBWIP fans are, you know, they're not blackers.
God, there's so many. I've been arrested so many times. I'm trying to think of the fucking cop that I hate the most. Or that fucking judge. The judge in Tri-Cities. There's a judge, Judge Pratt. He's a fucking prick. He made me fucking do all kinds of bullshit, you know, because I always got drinking charges and everything.
Sure.
I'd say that Judge, I even think his name's Eugene Pratt.
All right. Well, if he becomes a zombie, you're first in line.
I'm gonna fucking cut that motherfucker's head off.
All right, and the last question, because I got the bands getting ready to go. Last band question. This is from Melissa.
Okay.
So we all know a lot about musicians who are serious road dogs, such as yourself.
Okay.
And have heard many, many stories about having them shit themselves in the car. Has this ever happened to you? And if so, please tell the story.
Okay, well, it wasn't the car. But we, earlier in the day, this is another Andy story. Me and him were bet, he bet me $20 that I couldn't eat 20 tacos. And are those little dollar tacos?
Sure, sure.
And so I actually, and he paid for, if I ate them, basically he paid for them. So I ate 20 of those little dollar tacos. I pounded 20 tacos. This was in Midland, Texas. And we had to motorhome there. This is actually kind of a funny one of my rock and roll moments. So I get on stage, and the first song's Roadbound. You know, you gotta get through my whole band. And it's like, first song, first thing, I hit band, and it's just like, Boom! And it's the first song. What can you do? It was a packed little bar. So I ended up having to, and Andy knew it because I told him. He was laughing at me the whole set. So the whole time he's just like, dude. So then I get done playing and I'm trying to get to the camper, and the smoking hot girl comes right up to me. She's like, I gotta go, but I wanna go up to the camper right now. And I was like, okay. So I go to the camper and I'm like trying to like get it up. Oh dude, it was bad. Then to top it off, so we start getting it on, the promoter is like, has to leave. So he actually just storms in the back. I'm actually with this girl. She's naked, grabbing me, going, what the fuck? What's he doing? He's counting the money. You know, so I'm sitting there with shit pants, banging this chick, getting the money counted. I don't know if I should talk about this on TV.
I've told about shit in my pants on the show.
Okay, fuck
so,
it.
I've done it actually twice, so.
There you go.
So, okay, so this is the big thing. Out of those 8 questions, which was your favorite?
I don't know. The Molly one was pretty good, that last one.
Melissa's shit one?
The shit one was pretty good. And so was the spit.
The lube one.
The lube one. Shit, that's tight. I'm gonna go with spit.
Spit! Danny K.
Danny K.
From Danny K. The Nightlifers, the question was, what is your favorite lube? And it's spit. Bob, thank you very much, buddy.
All right, buddy.
It's a pleasure seeing you.
Hell
take care.
Yeah, Blake. Appreciate you, man.
Check out bobwayne.org for tour and to get your hands on a pre-sale for the new record.
Hell yeah.
Thanks a lot.
Later.
Awesome, man. Thank you so much.
Awesome. I was born in the desert, raised out on the road. I've been kicked out of every place that I called home. Well, I used to know my name, and I used to know my truth, and I used to say no to things I used to do. Streets all night, all cops are bastards.
They never hurt a human dignity. All cops are bastards working for a fascist machinery. All cops are bastards. They say it's law and order, but we live in fear. All cops are bastards round here. You see them driving with their blue lights on. All cops are bastards. You see them holding their Tommy guns. All cops are bastards. They're beating up people without any reason. All cops are bastards, supported by the law and the politicians. All cops are bastards. They say it's law and order, but we live in fear. All cops are bastards round here.
Are you a blogger or a podcaster, or you're just not happy with your web hosts? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script installs with a free site builder, and the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo to see how easy it is. And if you use the special coupon code Section 8686, you'll save 25% off your web hosting packages. What do you got to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite out of your web hosting costs.